bring in Glenn Healy, executive director of the NHL Alumni Association, to take a look back at the NHL weekend. Heels, thank you so much for joining Ashley and myself. There's a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about, but I want you, as a guy who spent a fair amount of time, and I mean this respectfully, on the bench as a goalie, and you'll see where I'm going with this, and a guy who spent an awful lot of time between the benches as an analyst. You know, a lot of the talk Saturday night was about Mike Babcock's line juggling and how he essentially threw everything into a blender and, you know, pulled things out, and it worked. Put me on a bench or between benches, Glenn, when a coach just kind of looks at his guys and says, okay, nothing's working, I'm just going to start mixing stuff up. What's that like? How do players react to that?
Well, I think that's a sign of a pretty good coach, right? The bad coach is the one who waits till Sunday and looks at the tape of the Montreal Canadiens and says, wow, we didn't really have a good game, did we? No, that'd be accurate, yeah. Or there's the other coach that waits till you're down 2-0 and then decides it's time for the blender to get going. I think what Mike did superior on the weekend was, you know, as it was 0-0, he recognized we're not going early, and we better get this thing going. And so I'm going to put together some groups that, you know, are going to get this thing on track. And that's kind of, in my mind, what he did. He recognized that there wasn't chemistry with certain guys, and he found chemistry with some of the players. He knew that Austin Matthews was not going to come out of the gate and be the player that he is right away. He needs some time. So he had to get him going, and he managed to find that. He just had a whole bunch of players that contributed to a pretty big win. But, you know, the biggest thing between the benches is you got to pay attention to who's up and who's not up. Mm. I mean, I can recall a game in 94 when it was between whether Mike Hartman was going to come up or it was Mike Gartner, and Mike Keenan called it, next up is Gartman. It was that. And as Mike Hartman decided to jump onto the ice because he didn't play much, Keenan grabbed him by the sweater and sat him down and said, not you, I'd never put you on the ice.
So, no!
The old Gartman line. There we go, perfect. But, that's what coaches do. That's what they're paid to do. And they're paid to be responsible for, you know, the team in the sense that we want to win, so put the best players on the ice. And I think, you know, from the second period on, the Montreal Canadiens, to me, I don't even recall a scoring chance. They were not in that hockey game for the last 40 minutes. And maybe a lot of that had to do with the line juggling, or a lot had to do with the better team won.
Mm-hmm.
For the Canadians, I know that we need to talk about the Leafs because we're here in Toronto, but for the Canadians,
we can talk about the Habs anytime we want to talk about the Habs.
I feel like it's really easy to go back to the PK Subban and Shea Weber trade and say this was kind of the undoing of Montreal. But when you look at it in a smaller time frame, maybe, okay, sure, in the long run, trading Subban, who's a younger guy who's just as skilled, if not has a higher ceiling, might not have been the right call, depending on who you ask. But right now, that's not the problem with this team. The problem with this team is that they don't have that depth at defense, and that their forwards are really, really small. And so I think it's a much bigger picture issue than some people are making it out to be.
Oh, yeah. No, if you go back a couple of years ago, they had a December that was the absolute worst in their 100 years of hockey. It's a storied franchise, and their December was the worst they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the start of, boy, we better make some changes. And, you know, whether it was the contractual situation with Subban, they thought, you know, we can get out from underneath this a little bit, or we can get more leadership because they felt they needed better leadership in their locker room. Whatever the decision behind that trade was, the club was on a kind of a spiral going downward for a little bit of time now. This isn't new. And, you know, they really were just dependent on one guy, and he wasn't in the lineup on Saturday. That's Carey Price.
Mm-hmm.
The club was totally dependent on his goaltending, and every Saturday night he just seemed to be the first star on Hockey Night in Canada. So there are a lot of issues with their club. And, I don't know if the dynamic within the room, whether they brought the right people into that locker room. That's a big thing, too, right? You know, it started a couple years back when they thought Vanek was the guy for their playoff run, and that didn't really work out. And then they brought a couple other players that you just kind of thought, well, I think this guy's got talent, but does he really fit? And, you know, Galchenyuk and Drouin, and you've got a whole host of questions and not a whole host of answers. And I think you're right. It's just not that one trade. This is a dynamic that is not right within their group, and they're going to have to find a way to fix it. The trouble is it's a hard fix.
Well, and on top of that, you lose Radulov, you lose Markov, and Carey Price is a huge issue. And now, because they're not really speaking on what his problem is, and it was supposed to be this minor injury, and it's ballooned into this big focus of a team that's struggling because you look for solutions. Do you think that there's more to this injury than meets the eye? Maybe he's not just hurt. Maybe they're trying to look for trade partners. It, for some reason, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. And in this case, a lot of people think that this issue seems to be a bit more complex than the surface.
Well, it's your best player, and so it's complex in the sure. sense that he's not playing for you. And when you watch him skate, he doesn't look like a guy who's about to come back any minute soon. Mm-hmm. Looks very ginger, very... And they're not going to let everybody know what the totality of the injury was. I mean, think back a number of years ago when he was hurt, tried to come back, and that set them right back. It cost them a whole season. So they're going to be very cautious with it. But, you know, trading partners, it's difficult in this day and age with most teams lacking cap space and a trade. You know, most players or teams aren't going to want to take your $4 million player that's only worth two. He'll take your two that's worth four, but it's a very difficult thing to make deals, and that's one of the reasons we sit around all trade deadline and basically do nothing and wait for nothing to happen. It's just a gorgeous day. It's just for all the people in Canada, it's a great way to waste an entire day. But no, it's a difficult situation to get out of. I guess the big thing in Toronto is what we've learned is the best way to improve your team is at the podium. Go to the podium, make the right pick. If Austin Matthews is the pick, then wow, have you hit pay dirt? But that's a lot more difficult to do than where the Montreal Canadiens sit today.
Yeah, and one of the things, and I know Nick Kyprios talked about this during the intermission on Saturday night. But if you are the Montreal Canadiens and you are ownership and you are management and you're going to have one of those sort of come to Jesus moments, one of those meetings where you sit down and really look kind of deep into the soul of the team and go, all right, we're 4 or 5 points out of the playoff spot, but let's be realistic. We've got to do something here. I mean, I look at their team and, you know, the guys to me that need a change of scenery from a distance are Max Pacioretty and Galchenyuk, who I think they've just completely mishandled. And this is two coaches now that have mishandled them. But Glenn, how do you do that when you still have Carey Price? You know, Carey Price to me represents a window of opportunity. If you have Carey Price, then there is a window of opportunity, whether it's open just a crack or wide open, there's a window of opportunity there. Is it easier to rebuild with a guy like that? Or do you think in some ways it's harder because you might feel you owe it to Carey Price to not tear this thing down to the studs and try to rebuild again?
Well, I think you owe it to your fan base. This club that's, you know, at one point couldn't find a Canadian owner. George Gillette was the only one who could own the team. They had a season fan base of season ticket holders of about 4,000. In some ways, they went and got Doug Gilmore just so they could kind of build up some excitement amongst their team, even though Dougie was kind of on his last legs. Now they've built something really good with their fans and this trust. And, you know, what are they at? 500 straight sellouts?
Yeah.
And so you're a couple points back and you're going to have a come to Jesus moment? Oh, boy. Okay. You know, you got to, you know, because historically you look back and you'll say, like the Toronto Maple Leafs a number of years back were 7 points up on Detroit going into St. Patrick's Day. So you would pretty much say that's it, Detroit's done, and Toronto is in the playoffs. The exact opposite happened. We're talking March, middle of March, 7 back, and Detroit made it, Toronto didn't, and it was stripped down at that point with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it is, in my mind, it is way too early for you to just throw in the towel and think, okay, it's time to trade, especially your cornerstone pieces. I mean, Ashley brought it up. You traded a cornerstone piece in Subban, and you've arguably been regretting it ever since. Mm. So now you're going to add more cornerstone pieces into this mix? It's too early for me you know, for that to happen. But no, that being said, are they good enough to make the playoffs? Well, without Carey Price, no. Without knowing the extent of his injury, I mean, we're guessing at this point. But, you know, I think you owe it to your fans to at least don't take the last part of this season and another $100 million from their jeans and say, yeah, we're just mailing this one in. This one's done for us. That's not the way to conduct business with one of the top teams in the NHL.
I'm gonna give Gord Stellick some kudos here, which is not often done in this show. I'm just kidding. But I'm gonna give Stellick some kudos here for pointing out the other night that we were approaching the anniversary of Salute Gate or Stick Gate or whatever you want to call it. When you look at where this team is now to where it was 3 years ago, Glenn, you know, it's remarkable, isn't it? Never mind the transformation on the ice. Well, you know, we know why that is, but just the way people feel about this team, it's such a fast turnaround that I don't even know if we realize how fast this has happened.
Well, and I'll be honest. I mean, those were hard games for me on Hockey Night Canada to do on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to, you know, drum up storylines and drum up interest and try to create it where, okay, this is the place to be on a Saturday night. This is hockey night, and you know we're putting Leo Komarov into the All-Star game, and they're saluting the fans or not saluting the fans, and then lying about it. Oh no, we decided to change the way we did things. Really. Next trick. We know what you did. There were a whole host of things. I mean, there were some players that got a flat and just missed practice. We were changing our tire. They've got this thing called CAA. They can change your tire.
I remember that.
Remember that one?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yep. Yes, blow off work. Why not? We can do that. So the storylines are way different. The energy, the interest, and From a guy who likes the team, watches the team, is a fan of the team, it is nice to see this now because this is what the fans deserve. Mm-hmm. They are longstanding, and it's those guys that played in the 60s that won the Cups, that built the kind of this franchise and paved the roads, and these guys are driving on those roads right now. They didn't, you know, sell the game out to buy tickets to watch me sit on the bench. Trust me. It's those guys in the 60s, and the fans deserve to see what they're seeing now.
The Leafs, with a convincing win over Montreal, which is a good sign. Auston Matthews came back. He got on the score sheet. But it's not necessarily a team that you can benchmark yourself against. The game before, the New Jersey Devils, who had the Leafs number the first time that they played, they had 42 shots on Frederik Andersen, who stood on his head. Corey Schneider, for his part, had a really good game as well, although tested quite a bit less. I think he had like 24 shots that he was facing or something. My question for you is that we saw the Leafs depth really turn around and really perform when Auston Matthews was out. That's a good sign. But for you, does that mean that while he was in the lineup, people might have been sitting back a little bit, hoping that he could carry the load for them? Because if that's the case, that's obviously a problem.
Well, no, I think it's more the fact that this team's still trying to find its way. You know, most of these guys kind of just got their driver's license. Some of them, we had grade 13, they'd still be in school, high school. So they're still trying to find their way, and that's, you know, it takes some time. It takes a number of years before players kind of figure out what it's like to be a pro. And a number of years ago, I mean, this was, again, let's go back to Salute Gate. I mean, this was a team that internally suspended an Nazem Kadri. Said, yeah, go away. Don't bother coming. For what reason? I mean, kind of know, but don't really know. But I can probably read between the lines and figure it out. That each year that this team gets older, more mature, they figure it out. And hey, there's, you know, not everything is going to be a Picasso. Sometimes you got to paint the barn. Sometimes it's got to be ugly. Sometimes you need your goaltender in the first period to do what Andersen did on Saturday until the team looked around and said, okay, yes, all right, we're at the Bell Center. It's time to get our act together. It's coast to coast. And then you humiliated a team in front of their own fans, coast to coast to coast. That doesn't happen in Montreal very often. So kudos to them, and I'm glad that they took the time yesterday to enjoy the Argos going to the Grey Cup and having that fun, because they deserved it. But it's, you know, it's never going to be absolutely perfect. It's going to take this team time to kind of figure their way. And, you know, we forget the ages of these guys. They are still so young. This core of the team is so young. And it takes a lot of time for people to figure it out sometimes. And when they do figure it out, then we're going to start talking about this team being a Stanley Cup contender, a club that, you know, we're talking about doing some real damage in the playoffs. They did it last year, but I think their better days are still ahead.
Before I let you scoot, the Josh Levo extension, which seems like a really nice piece of business for the Maple Leafs, not certain I get it from the player's point of view, but nonetheless, good piece of business for the Leafs. Does this, in your mind, Glenn, is it further evidence that, you know, whether it's JVR or Tyler Bozak or Leo Komarov, one of those three guys, if not two of them, probably won't be back next year?
Well, I do love that in Toronto, that right away when you give a guy a contract, and I think it's a pretty good steal for a contract for that kind of player.
Mm-hmm. For the team, you mean?
The road of we're assassinating two other guys.
No one's saying we're assassinating. I mean, that's a
You're
little.
You're basically like, okay, he's in, who's out? Yeah. Let's make our next
Uber
move.
Cap. You got an Uber on line one. Okay, come get him. Get him out of here.
Say assassinating necessary. That's kind of a strong word.
It is a strong word. I apologize.
That's all right.
I would say this. You are right. Yeah, there's. Hey, we all. You're looking at the numbers and you're saying, all right. I mean, the league is already looking at the Stefan Robidoux trapdoor and going, okay, something's nefarious here, and I don't know, you're not going to do that again to us. So when you start looking at the cap numbers and you start looking at players that are contractually going to be up, yeah, there's going to be changes in this roster. End of story, for sure. Whether that is Komarov, which I think it will be, whether it's JVR, which I also think it will be, there will definitely be changes to this roster, for sure. You just can't. And Edmonton faced it early on. A bunch of young guys, deserving of some money. Whoever goes first sets the mark, and then the rest just kind of, the chips fall where they may. And we will have an Eberle here in Toronto. Mm. Who that is, that's up to Lou and Mike to figure it out.